Support for the Capital Connection comes from
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week, and we're quite lucky, is Ed Cox, who's back again as chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed Cox previously served 10 years as party chair. He left to lead a fundraising effort for then-President Donald Trump's bid for a second term. And I gotta say, welcome back to the Capital Connection, Ed. Always a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure always to be with you, Dr. Chartok.
Yeah. Anyway, Governor Hochul and lawmakers recently passed a $229 billion state budget over a month late. A big part of the delay involved negotiation over bail reform, with the governor convincing lawmakers to change the law, allowing judges more discretion when considering bail, which are now not tied down by the least restrictive means, in quotes, clause, which was removed from the legislation since bail reform was a big Republican issue in the last election. Is this good news in the budget?
It's still a huge issue. I don't understand this least. I'm a lawyer. I still don't understand the least restrictive issue, what that does. The bottom line is we still do not have the judges cannot consider a dangerous issue with respect to a defendant as to whether to have him put under a large amount of bail or not. And that we're the only state that does not permit judges to consider whether or not the defendant or the accused, whatever you want to call the person, whether or not the person is dangerous to the community. Only state. And until that gets changes, they have not really impacted the issue. And then there's the issue with respect to discovery laws. Assistant DAs are leaving in droves because they have to look at turn over any evidence that they have that is related. If they don't turn it to with the issue that the accused is being accused of, and if they don't do it, the accused goes free. It's not, whether it's relevant or not, a little bit of evidence that they had something and the defense lawyer can say, you didn't turn that over, and the defendant goes scot-free. That's why 60% of these cases are dismissed, and that's very frustrating for assistant DAs. And so there are real issues still with our criminal laws here and the cashless bail reforms that were made.
What's the fix?
What's the fix? The fix is to permit judges to consider a dangerous criteria with respect to the defendant, and also with respect to discovery laws, it has to be relevant, not just related to the issues of which the defendant's being accused.
It sounds reasonable. What's the resistance?
Anything related, as opposed to something that is really relevant and is significant with respect to the... Otherwise, minor stuff can cause an accused to walk free. A person who's murdered someone can walk free simply because something that was related, a piece of evidence that the district attorney had under their control, did not turn it over to the defendant's counsel. Even though it is not significant, it was really unrelated to the, it wasn't relevant with respect to the crime.
But I'm sorry to push back on this, but isn't it important that, you know, prosecutors and others adhere to the law, defendants' rights, and isn't this the way we do it?
Sure, and they always do. But the law's got to be sensible, and that's not a, not having a dangerous criteria for judges to consider in whether or not to free a defendant onto the streets. That's not common sense.
The problem, of course, is that judges are human beings. They look at somebody's face. They may even look at their color. And so we try somehow to deal with that, don't we?
That's irrelevant to whether someone's dangerous or not. If someone's got a record of beating up people, let's say someone has a record of actually having a murder conviction that was pleaded down or this or that, and someone else, they're involved in a homicide, and the judge can look back at the record and say, hey, this guy is dangerous. He's already been involved in a homicide. Now he's in another one. And so under present conditions, the judge could let the guy go in free into the streets.
We're talking to Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. And so the question is, what else do you like in the budget? And could you try to be specific?
Well, let me tell you what I don't like about it. What I don't like about it is that it's a $229 billion budget, which is more than the budgets of Florida, which has more population than New York State, and Texas, which has about an equal population, combined. And it is an increase over the last 5 years of about 20%. We need to have some budget discipline. And even the budget office of the governor predicts that there will be a $20 billion deficit over the next 3 years. That means that they're going to have to, if that deficit that is presently locked in continues and they don't cut back some of the expenditures, they're going to have to increase taxes again in the highest tax state in the United States. And that means productive citizens are going to continue to leave this state in droves.
So Republican county executives in Orange and Rockland counties have declared states of emergency in response to New York City's proposed plan to send asylum seekers to be temporarily housed in those counties. What's your take on that situation?
New York City has long declared itself a sanctuary city for immigrants, which means that the laws, the immigration laws, do not apply to an individual, an immigrant who actually is in New York City. And that has attracted to New York City a number of illegal immigrants. And they are here. Now, with Biden's open border policy, come on, come all, and cross our border and come into the United States, and 60,000 of the 5 million or so who have crossed the border, illegal immigrants who have come into the United States during Biden's administration, 60,000, only 60,000 are here in New York City, and apparently that is blowing a hole in the city's budget, a hole, and they expect it to rise to 5 billion. So they're saying, gee, we're going to offload some of this onto Rockland County. Well, guess what? Rockland County is not a sanctuary county. They disagree with New York City. If New York City is going to be a sanctuary city and wants to attract illegal immigrants, New York City should deal with it, not Rockland County.
Let me talk in a more general way about our politics in New York State. And we are talking to Ed Cox, who is chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Let me ask you this. Do you believe New York Republicans can take down the Democratic supermajorities in the state Senate and the Assembly? What is it about New York that the state likes Democrats?
Well, it wasn't always that way.
But it is now.
For 2018, the Republicans had control of the state Senate, and in fact, they'd had it for a century before that, with a little back and forth after 2008, 2009. But in 2010, we won it back and held it until 2018. We need to have two-party government here. At the moment, Albany is controlled. Basically, it's all in the budget, and the budget used to be decided by three men in a room. Now it's by three Democrats in the room. And two of those Democrats have supermajorities, which is not good with respect to the governor, who generally is expected under our Constitution to moderate the demands for the legislature for more spending. That's the way our constitutional provisions in of state constitution, that's the way the budget is divided. The governor really has control over it, as long as the governor has one house that will uphold the governor's veto. At the moment, with two-thirds majority in each house, the leaders in the House really have control of the budget vis-a-vis the governor. And that's part of the reason why the budget went on for a month longer than it should have. And the governor's moderating influence on it really wasn't there the way it should have been.
We're talking to Ed Cox. And Ed, I don't want to offend you in any way here, but what's wrong with the Republicans? I mean, why can't they do better in New York?
Well, we actually did very well last November. We have a record number of congressional districts. We now have 11 members of the House of Representatives. And that's because we had a special master in the end draw the districts so that they complied with the state constitution. And we had nine competitive districts that could go one way or the other. And we won eight of those because there's a little red wave here in New York State, because the economy here was struggling, as it always is, coming out of a tough period of time when the economy was down because of COVID and other things. New York came out of it later than others, and inflation here was higher than other states. And as a result of that, and also Lee Zeldin's very good, energetic run for the governorship, in which he got 47% of the vote, did very well in Long Island, very well in the Southern Hudson Valley, which and the majorities that he picked up in those areas covered where we had those competitive seats. We won eight of the nine, plus three Republican. We have a record number of House seats as a result of last November's elections.
Let me ask you this. 2024, you told us last time that you would not endorse President Trump before the primary was over. But with all the investigations into the former president, including a current rape trial, where do you stand at the moment on a potential Trump 2024 endorsement?
Well, yeah, he asked me to endorse him in 2016, a week before the election, and I said I couldn't do that. I had said I would remain neutral with respect to the presidential candidates. And the reason I did that was I wanted to have all the remaining candidates, and there are three, as you know, Senator Cruz and Governor Kasich of Ohio and Donald Trump. And I wanted to campaign all over the state and give us the excitement of seeing our presidential candidates. And perhaps New York would have the decisive, would select as our nominee and the next president of the United States by its primary would in fact determine who the next president of the United States would be. And that's the way it worked out. But in order to do that, I had to encourage all the candidates to come here to New York and campaign all over the state. And so I had to be neutral. And I told Donald Trump then I had to remain neutral right to the end. I couldn't look like I was trying to fix it for one can or the other. And I received a congratulatory call from the former president with respect to my recent election to be chairman of the party again. And he said, "Well, I guess you'll be neutral again, won't you?" And I said, "Yes, Mr. President, I will be going forward, because that's what's good for the party in New York State, to have all the candidates be welcomed here and campaign here, help the various counties raise funds with their dinners and their events, and let the Republicans here see all the candidates and then decide which one they would like to have as our nominee."
From the Republican Party website at nygop.org, you say, "We're about more jobs. Democrats are about driving businesses, big and small, out of New York with far left regulations, demands, and taxes." Isn't that hyperbole? I mean, far left gives me a view of Chairman Mao. Were you going out on
Look, Alan, we're for some very simple common sense things. That's safe streets, good jobs, and good schools. And you say, "Well, everyone's for that." No, not our leadership, for example, in the Senate. Senator Gennaris, with respect to good jobs, in his district, killed 27,000 Amazon jobs that wanted to set up business. Amazon wanted to set up business in that district of Queens. And he drove them out. He said, "We're not going to permit you to do your business here in Queens." And that was simply because of his fear that because Ocasio-Cortez did not want them there for some reason, didn't like Amazon jobs. And he was scared that she might have a challenger who would challenge him and he might not win the primary. Just as she defeated Crowley, Congressman Crowley, to become a member of Congress. So, unfortunately, if you take a look at those with respect to safe streets, that was a major issue. Still, crime is still a major issue, and nothing's been done to solve that. As we talked about, there being no dangerous standard that judges can use with respect to accused. And as far as education, the education committee in the Senate has put a 2-year limitation on mayoralty control of schools, so they can, in essence, perform for the unions that pressure them and say to the chancellor here, "If you don't do this, if you don't do that, the threat is that they will take away from the mayor the control of the schools," which would be a disaster. It would be a mess again if the mayor is not the person who would be held responsible for our system of schools. And by the way, they've kept mostly of the limitations with respect to charter schools that are most successful schools. So if you take a look at the Democrats and their supermajority in the Senate and what they're doing, they're not for safe streets, they're not for good jobs, and they're not for good education here in New York State.
So let me ask you this. With everything that you say, and I understand where you're coming from and what your job is, New York is always perceived as a Democratic state, isn't it?
Not always. George Pataki had 3 terms as governor.
My beard is getting grayer. George Pataki, I remember him. Yeah.
Yeah, you remember him. And until 2018, we had control of the state Senate. I hear there was way back when, and I think you might remember, there's this Governor Rockefeller who actually was, I think, elected 4 times as governor and happened to be a Republican. So,
A Republican.
he was indeed a Republican and later Vice President of the United States under Gerald Ford.
Yeah.
So now, look, Republicans can come back here because the Democrats are enthralled to the Democratic Socialists now, because they have won a number of primaries with a small turnout. They, who are really a minority, even with their own party, but yet they control their party because of their control of primaries and the policies that are being. New York is a blue state, yes, but I maintain it is a blue-collar state, not a ultra-liberal blue state in its space. It's not West Side Manhattan blue.
What's wrong with that?
Blue.
I came from there.
Well,
yes.
Well, which did you come from, Blue Collar or West Side Manhattan?
West Side Manhattan, definitely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 96th
okay.
Street. I knew it well. The crosstown bus shifted gear right in front of my house. Okay. So.
But where do you live? Where do you live now?
Massachusetts in Great Barrington. Yeah, yeah. It's very nice.
All right.
Very nice
okay.
up there.
Another refugee from New York.
Well, people do move on. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So we're about good schools, say the Republicans, which means more school choice and education savings accounts, alternative schools
yeah.
and charter schools, so parents can find the right schools for their children and students can get a path to reach their God-given potential. Come on. We know charter schools take money from the public school system. And
no, they don't. No, they're not. Whoa.
Oh, sure.
Whoa. I
you said what to a horse.
I implemented the charter school law for 10 years as chairman of the committee.
Yeah.
And you're taking money from the public schools. Well, guess what?
What?
If people are lined up to go to charter schools because they're better schools than the local public schools. And all the local public schools and they cost less, by the way. Their budgets, they don't get the full amount of money that goes with the student. They only get 80% of it. So if a smart school district that just wants the best for their students and the parents of those students decide they want their children to go to charter schools, the district just has to attrit their basic their teacher, and there are always teachers leading. They just don't have to hire more teachers, and they can make their school spaces available to charter schools, and the charter schools, and over time, charter schools, the local public schools improve as the public charter schools set the example of what needs to be done in order to give a good education to the children here in New York State.
Go ahead, please.
So it's they just have to attrit their budgets to a certain extent because of the parents of these children want them to go to charter schools, so the funds go to charter schools, and they just have to attrit their budgets and make their schools facilities available to charter schools to locate in those facilities.
We are talking to Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. So you've been a big fundraiser for President Trump. How's that gone?
That was in his reelection,
right.
A Republican president. We raised here in New York. We led the fundraising for him, and it went fairly well.
Were you disappointed in him at all? You know, there are a lot of people who have not such good things to say about Trump and his presidency.
Well, I think you'll find most Republicans like his policies, that the policies were good that he did with respect to cutting taxes. Cutting regulations was terrific. For the first 9 months of his administration, because the focus was on Obamacare then and reforming it or getting rid of it, he could not do the tax cuts that he wanted to. So he did a lot of deregulation, and it was very effective deregulation. It really gave a big boost to the economy. And the results with the economy from his policies, including the eventual tax cuts that he got, were very beneficial with respect to, for instance, minorities. The unemployment numbers for minorities were at all-time lows because of his economic policies.
Let me ask you about anti-Semitism. Days after three New York Democratic members of Congress voted against a resolution expressing support for Israel, six Democrats in the New York City Council refused to vote in favor of establishing April 29th as, quote, End Jew Hatred Day. And that comes from a letter that you wrote. And that is a quote from you with the following statement. Jewish New Yorkers have increasingly been targets of anti-Semitic violence. Radical Democrats' refusal to even acknowledge the reality and to express support for this historically victimized community demonstrate their abandonment of decency and takeover by the socialist and anti-Semitic far left. Could you explain that to us?
Yeah. there is a streak of anti-Semitism now in the Democratic Party, particularly in the Democrat Socialist wing of it, which has an inordinate amount of influence in the Democratic Party. And that's what I was pointing out there.
Well, I mean, there will be people who interpret that to mean that you're saying that some of the minorities have it out.
No, not minority. No, normally they're not. Look, the working class minorities here in New York, these are...
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Capital Connection is hosted by Alan Chartalk. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcasts. You can sign up for weekly show updates by subscribing to our newsletter, Airwaves, and by following us on social media at WAMC Radio. Thanks for listening.